Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
The Marines in a combat zone never leave their weapons. They can't be outside of their reach. So this is highly unusual. Concern over U.S. Marines armed in the presence of the Secretary of Defense, as far as I know, is unprecedented.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. As I said to you several times this week, I would rather not do politics. They are boring, but today they are not boring. Ladies and gentlemen, it can't get much lower than this, or can it? Leon Panetta, the fraudulent defense secretary who was put in there as a stooge for the financial interests behind Obama who are milking the Defense Department for their contracts, had the audacity to go to the war zone in Afghanistan and demand that the troops be disarmed. This is so unprecedented that even the communist slime on MSNBC were outraged by it. That's correct. The U.S. Marines in a war zone were forced to disarm so that the clown, Leon Panetta, a university clown from Monterey University, no experience in the military whatsoever, forces the Marines to disarm. Ladies and gentlemen, when I saw this story this morning, the first thing that came to my mind was that we have become like Tsarist Russia, where the Tsar of Russia had reached a point of such unpopularity that he was afraid to appear before the Russian troops of that time. Shortly thereafter, Russia collapsed in a revolution. The United States cannot take any more of this illegitimate anti-American administration. I have never seen anything like this, but this is not the only story that has activated me today. Obama has said he will give Russia secret U.S. missile data in exchange for communist Russia's support of a missile shield. Don't you think this is an impeachable offense? It gets even worse than this. It gets even worse than this. The NAACP, the National Association for the Advancement, not of American people, the National Association for the Advancement, not of, has gone to the United Nations demanding that the United Nations Human Rights Council investigate American election laws. Now, this is the same UN, United Nazi Human Rights Council, that includes Saudi Arabia, which does not permit women to vote. This is the same UN Human Rights Council that includes the communist Chinese dictatorship. The NAACP has gone to them over the so-called controversy of requiring voters to provide photo IDs before they can vote in America. I have a question for you. Do you support the NAACP? Do you think the NAACP represents American values? Is it time to quit the NAACP? And I have to ask you that very pointedly. Can you believe that the NAACP would go to the UN Human Rights Council, which includes Cuba, communist China, and Saudi Arabia, which does not permit women to vote? Now, it's true that the country of Saudi Arabia announced 6 months ago that women will be granted the right to vote, but that change is not going into effect until 2015. But that does not stop the NAACP, the National Association for the Advancement Only of Colored People, from going to the UN Human Rights Council and complaining that America is a racist country because we are imposing photo IDs at polling places. I've never seen anything like this. But wait. It gets even worse, but I can't give you any more. So let's go back to the first story. U.S. Marines have been forced to disarm in a combat zone because the clownish imposter as Defense Secretary Panetta flew in there to get on his hands and knees and apologize to the throwbacks in Afghanistan for what the crazed Marine did. Now, what the crazed Marine did, if it's true, is an atrocity, and it should be investigated to the full extent, and he should be punished to the full extent of the law. Even if he's crazy, he should be punished. That's if he actually did it. I still don't know if he actually did it. We don't know if the Taliban did it. There has to be a trial. But where is Panetta with regard to the massacre at Fort Hood? After all, in Fort Hood, a Muslim major named Nidal Hassan went berserk and killed 13 people and wounded over 32. Again, troops disarmed by the left-wing fanatics who run our military. Killed in cold blood, executed in cold blood. Panetta did not fly to Fort Hood, so far as I know. Should the general who gave this order, General Mark Gurganus, be court-martialed? 1-800-449-8255. If you're not incensed by either of these stories, you shouldn't vote. You have abrogated your responsibility as an American citizen. If you do not see what this man in the White House has done to this country, if you do not see that he is the most divisive anti-American, corrupt president in the history of this country, then you're blind, you're deaf, you're dumb. Tom in New York on WOR said I wouldn't do politics, but I'm sorry. Politics begs discussion today on the Savage Nation. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Michael.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes,
listen,
you're on the radio. Go ahead, talk, please.
Thank you. Michael, I've been to West Point recently, and the only ones armed are the military police. 90% of the personnel there, the weapons are on lockdown. I wonder if they have magic bullets. I'm starting to think they're all in Halloween costumes. Look what happened to Fort Hood.
Why is Obama disarming the U.S. military? Why is this administration? The bigger question is, what do they fear? What is it that Panetta feared would happen? Does he distrust the American troops? Is he that hated? Do they have internal polls that say the troops hate them so much that they can't be trusted with weapons?
And Putin says he's going to sell Russians to us, or sell weapons to Assad. He's knifing us in the back, and we're giving him...
I don't understand how the American people don't demand impeachment immediately. I have never seen anything like this. He gets away with virtual the disarming of the American military when Panetta flies in there?
And then we give them seven islands off of Alaska, free oil islands. We're giving it away, lock, stock, and barrel.
Well, I'm not giving it away. I only wish we had an opposition party. I only wish we had a loyal opposition instead of a disloyal party called the Republican Party, which is worthless as far as I'm concerned. Worthless, worthless, worthless. A gang of crooks just like the Democrats. Which is exactly why the American people hate the election, the whole electoral process. And I'm starting to wonder if the people don't see through it all, and that's why they don't care. Do you know that let's start with the primaries themselves. Are you aware that the number of people voting is at an all-time low in these stupid primaries? 39,000 people or something went to the polls in Alabama and were supposed to celebrate that moron Santorum won? That idiot moron throwback who couldn't even be a junior high school principal, is now celebrating that he won in a state with 39,000 people? I mean, who went to the polls? Do you know that the ratings of cable television have gone down through the floor? Do you know that people are turning off from the political process in this country in droves? They're listening to sports. They're listening to morons who rub their crotches and have gold chains and sing with 50 words of English. Anything but politics. So I run a big risk in getting political on the Savage Nation. And believe me, I am diverse enough and I have enough versatility in my armamentarium of talk that I could talk about dogs, vitamins, science, botany, poetry, the bumblebee, and I could keep you listening. In fact, my audience would grow if I talked about food, meatballs, dogs, sardines, letting a fly out of a window. I'm one of the few people who is versatile enough in the history of talk radio to do this, and I'll probably be around after all the others are gone. I'm going to make a prediction right now. It's all up to God. It's not up to the radio people. It's really up to God. I have a feeling that after the election of 2012, the idea of political talk radio will be over. It'll be dead in the water. But having said that, I will be the only one surviving, or one of the few surviving, on the national syndicated level, because the people want more than just bashing Obama or bashing the Republicans. However, on a day like today, do you think I am obligated? Don't you think I'm obligated to talk about the fact that the U.S. Marines were forced to disarm when the fraud Leon Panetta flew in to get on his hands and knees and apologize to the... Did you hear what they're calling them? to the noble Afghani people. That's what the schmuck general says over there. To the noble people of Afghanistan. You mean every dirtbag throwback is noble, but every American is not noble? We're not noble, they're noble? 14th century lunatics who beat their wives and children, they're noble? While the American who slaves for this bum in the White House is not noble? Slaves for this bum could fly around in Air Force One and bankrupt the Treasury? We're not noble? I think I'll rest at that point. I'll be right back.
Savage.
You know, we've been there many times with the secretary, with the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, and the soldiers, the Marines, are always armed in a combat zone, but right. I've never seen an incident where they have been forced to disarm themselves. Right. The thought, even the suspicion that a U.S. Marine would open fire on the Secretary of Defense, unbelievable.
This is the most un-American administration in American history. It's never happened before, to the extent, by the way, the outrage is so great in this country that even the far-left anti-American fanatics on MSNBC were telling the story with astonishment. Nobody can believe how low Obama and Panetta have gone, disarming our Marines when Panetta arrived in a tent at Camp Leatherneck. Now, I checked into this, and here is the inside story as to why they disarmed our Marines. Are you ready for this? Normally, American Marines in Afghanistan keep their weapons when the defense secretary visits and speaks to them. But the Afghan troops in the tent were not armed to begin with, as is typical, because nobody trusts those backstabbing bums. The reason that they disarmed the Marines was because they did not want the Afghanis to feel like second-class citizens. This decision was made by General Gurganis, who said later that he wanted a consistent policy for everyone in the tent. In other words, he wanted fairness. He was suddenly like a politically correct college president. And he said, I wanted to have the Marines look just like their Afghan partners, said this useless general. This useless general who should be thrown out on his keister and his pension seized. I've never seen anything like this. Never in my life. Never in my life have I seen anything like this. Sergeant Major abruptly tells the Marines gathered to hear Mr. Panetta, the fraud, at Camp Leatherneck to get up, place their M16 and M4 automatic rifles and 9mm pistols outside, and come back into the tent unarmed. Why did they do it? Because the nervous Nelly general didn't want the Afghan troops, who are there for us to defend, by the way, he didn't want them to feel second class. This is what our soldiers are going through. This is why they're snapping. This is why they're going crazy. And the very same fraudulent defense secretary, Panetta, has yet to visit Fort Hood and assure the people there that another massacre will not occur by anyone, including another Muslim major like Nidal Hassan, who, by the way, everyone in this country, pay attention. Ask yourself why Obama has not brought Major Nidal Hassan to trial for the Fort Hood massacre. Why are they covering up the greatest massacre in military history? He killed 13 fellow troops. He killed 13 and he wounded over 30. Panetta didn't fly there, so far as I know. Why is this? Why? I think you could put two and two together. So if you want to talk about this or the NAACP going to the anti-American United Nazi Organization, UN Human Rights Council, which is astounding. This is right out of Animal Farm. The Saudi Arabians bar women from voting booth completely. Yet the NAACP goes to the UN Human Rights Council and says, we want you to look into American election laws because the new photo ID law is going to inhibit blacks and Hispanics from voting. This is one of the most anti-American things I've ever seen. How anyone can join the NAACP after this without understanding what they're paying money for is beyond me. Can you believe this? You don't think the NAACP is doing a disservice to American citizens and the democracy that we have here by going to the most anti-American, anti-human Human Rights Council, which is filled with dictatorships and other countries that actually really abuse real human rights? Don't you understand what's going on in this country? And it's all happening because of the O word. It's all happening because the O word is in the White House. And he has so demoralized the people of this country that these things are happening. New York, Lisan, welcome to the Savage Nation from WOR. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Mike. I'm really upset because the way that I look at it, after 10 years, if you're going to have a soldier and be in a war for 10 years and have these soldiers fight two, three, four tours, some even more, then to be honest with you, you need to reinstitute the draft because these people are going to lose it. You cannot fight a war for 10 years on a small volunteer army.
Well, let's go into that for a minute. Let's talk about this in a bigger context. Do you think we should bring back the draft? That's the real question. Now, you know that we should. If we continuously have neo-libs and neocons who want wars for their own reasons, there are reasons neo-libs want war, by the way, as you can well imagine. You understand that the war machine feeds the pockets of these corrupt contractors. You understand that, correct?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so let's start with the fact that contractors have no loyalty to America. No loyalty to the American people, no loyalty to the troops, no loyalty to democracy itself. Most of them are in it for the money. And we saw this under Bush. I was the only one in the media on the conservative side who was consistently warning the audiences of America, my audience that is, about the corruption in the contracting process under Bush. I told it to you over and over again. I spoke to returning soldiers who told me things that you couldn't believe. I can't even repeat them to you. There's too many. Okay? Now you've got endless wars. Why? Because the military-industrial complex is growing fat and fatter, fat and fatter, and there's no party association with either of with either party. There's no party affiliation, rather, with the contracting mess that we're in. So there's going to be wars forever. Why must we then take only a small segment of the American population? Why not take senators' grandsons and congressmen's granddaughters? Why not take everyone and put them into the military? Is that a bad idea? Especially since, and let me finish this sentence, there is a high likelihood that we're going to need a big standing military within the next 5 years because of our dear friends across the Pacific Ocean. Yes, I say bring back the draft. It's long overdue. 1-800-449-8255. This is the Savage Nation. Should we bring back the draft? Yes or no? Should the draft be reinstituted in America? Yes or no?
Savage.
War is hell. These kinds of events and incidents are going to take place. They've taken place in any war. They're terrible events. And
do you believe that the Peter Sellers lookalike, Leon Panetta, who has no military experience, should be dismissed as Secretary of Defense for ordering the disarming of Marines in a combat zone? Now, what if, let me ask you something, what if idiots out there, liberal idiots who have never fired a Daisy BB gun, but know all about guns in the military, you morons, you, tell me, what would have happened if the Taliban had struck at that moment when our Marines were disarmed? Is this not the act of a liberal psychopath or not? Is this not the act of Obama and liberal politicians who hate the military, fear the military, despise the military, and seem to sympathize with the Afghanis, not with American troops? There's something wrong here. There is something wrong with this picture. You put soldiers in harm's way and then you disarm them? Can anyone explain why this was done? I explained it to you. I'm also tying it into a much bigger question, which you must answer. Should we bring back the draft? It's obvious to me that the establishment, which is not Republican nor Democrat, but something else, old money, whatever you want to call it, which puts presidents in place and then deceives us into thinking that there's a big monster difference between the two parties when there's only sort of icing on the cake. Big policies are about the same, no matter who is the queen. As you well know, the Queen of England is a figurehead, not the real leader of the country. And I believe our president, to a certain extent, is like the Queen of England, sort of a figurehead for nefarious power of powerful individuals. That's how it seems to be emerging to me. And the reason I say it is quite clear. We had endless wars under Bush, didn't we? Well, now we have endless wars under Obama, who said he would end all wars, didn't he? Obama said he would end war, and yet he increased the number of troops to Afghanistan the minute he took office by 30,000. I don't forget those things. I remember those things. Remember, Obama lied to you. He said he would take the get the troops out of Afghanistan. He instead increased the number of troops by 30,000. Don't you remember that? This is the same Obama, the same bungling anti-war Obama, the same bungling anti-war commander-in-chief who put 22 Navy SEALs on an old Chinook helicopter, flew it into a combat zone and killed all of them. Or they died, you know. No investigation by Leon Panetta. No investigation of the Fort Hood massacre. No investigation of giving the Iranians the most advanced drone that we have. All happened under the commander-in-chief, the ex-community organizer. The ex-community organizer, the greatest commander-in-chief the communists have ever had in the United States of America, some would say. I realize this is offensive to many of you who don't know what the heck is going on, but it's better that you be offended and awakened than not offended and asleep. You can write that down, or you can read all about it in my new book, Trickle Down Tyranny, which is only available until April 3rd online. Then you're going to rush to the bookstore and it's going to be wiped out. Then it'll be sold out, I can guarantee you, and you'll see hell break loose in this country as the liberals try to hide this book. You wait and see. Sacramento, Shirley, you're next up. Bring back the draft or not?
Bring it back. Bring back the draft immediately.
Why?
Because I think everybody needs to serve it. When you're sending these poor guys over there for 3-4 terms, you need to have a fresher army so that you don't have these kind of incidents happening overseas.
Doesn't this look as if this doesn't it look as if this communist administration doesn't trust their own troops?
It does. I emailed my representative, which is McNerney, who keeps telling me he's for the vets, and I asked him to impeach this guy this morning. Haven't got an answer yet, but I'll get my thing, letter I get all the time, that he's doing a good job and all the other BS that he always tells me. But at least
well,
I'm trying.
All I can say is it's Obama and the liberal politicians around them, the anti-war, lifetime hard left fanatic Leninists around Obama, the college boys and girls who hate military, hate guns, hate weapons, hate ammunition, especially they hate the Marines. You got to understand something. They hate and distrust the U.S. Marines more so than any other element of the U.S. military. They distrust them for good reason. It's because the U.S. Marines are the last certifiable element of the U.S. military that we can count on. And I'll let it go at that. Let's go to the other callers in this country. Mississippi, Anthony, go ahead on the draft question. You take the opposite point of view. Tell us why. Yeah, Anthony, talk. You're on the radio.
Sorry about that. For me, no on reinstating the draft. My reasons being, I'm in the military myself. And if you reinstate the draft, I see that as forcing people to join the military. And me being in the military, I would much rather serve beside somebody that wants to be here versus somebody that was forced to join the military.
Well, it seemed to work for us in World War II, forcing people into the military. You know that not everybody wanted to be drafted. You know that, don't you?
Oh, I agree to that, and the fact that...
Well, what are we going to do when China, which has 30 million extra men, decides to initiate its muscle against us? What are we going to do, wait for the last minute to reinstitute the draft?
No, I see your point there. I can just foresee that if that happens to happen...
Well, of course, what you're saying makes sense to a great extent, which is that at least with an all-volunteer force, you have people who are, on the face of it, quite patriotic. And when you get a generalized draft, you're not going to have the same pool of patriotic individuals that you would with an all-volunteer force. But this idea of an all-volunteer force was instituted during a time of peace. It certainly isn't working anymore. When you've got men rotated over and over and over and over again, they're being destroyed. They're being destroyed by the evil contracting machine, the military-industrial complex. You win a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny, 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Las Vegas, Mark, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
I just want to say that it's a nice theory to say that you want people that are voluntary serving next to you, but it's totally a violation of the Constitution to force servitude in the draft. And the next thing you got is Lincoln killing...
So in other words, you think that during World War II there should have been no draft?
Right. Because you can take.
So in other words, you're in favor of you would have been in favor of the Nazis winning and dominating the world?
No, but I think Pat Buchanan.
Wait a minute. Excuse me. You can't think from one decision to the next of what your statement would lead to? That we would have no army to protect us? Michael, don't you understand what you're saying?
Michael, you made the assumption that we would have lost World War II if we didn't go there when we did, right? You're making
Excuse me? You mean we would have won World War II without an army?
We would have won it, but we could have delayed our entry. That's been...
Whoa. What are you saying? Let's go back to World War II since we're talking about it. And I'm arguing that without a draft, the Nazis would have been victorious and we'd all be speaking German and most of us who would have opposed Hitler would have been lampshades by now. You're saying that we would have won World War II without a draft? How?
Yes, yeah. How? By the facts getting across the ocean to what is actually taking place and you would have got an influx of voluntary serving people. I mean, that would have been a no-brainer. That was happening.
Wait a minute, sir. You're making idiotic statements that have no validity whatsoever. You're saying we would have had enough men to volunteer to fight Hitler?
Yes. Because
where do you get your information from? Where are you getting this from? This absurd idea.
Well, do you agree that Patrick Buchanan?
No. Wait a minute. Don't chuckle. You're having a serious discussion on national radio, and it's not good enough that you chuckle like you're in a barroom.
Okay, I won't chuckle, but Michael, you're getting all elevated when I'm speaking some true facts, which are that we could have delayed our entry into World War II and still won it. Do you agree with that, or do you think we had to get in when we did?
Well, that means you're an idiot in terms of historically blank man. You have no idea what you're talking about. If you had studied World War II as I do, and I'm an amateur historian, I don't claim to be an expert, I can give you at least 10 different events. Incidents, rather, that had we not won these little battles in time, we would have lost World War II. Let me give you one of them. The Nazis were racing to develop an atom bomb. You're aware of that, aren't you?
Well, you're going to call me an idiot, so I'm going to hang up. Bye-bye.
Okay, have a nice day. Go back to the truck stop and have a nice meat and potatoes. Do me a favor. Yes, I'm going to call you. How could men get on this show and say things like that, that had there been no draft, we would have won World War II? And say it with such authority. You know what this is coming from? I'm sorry to tell you this. This is coming from the diehard Ron Paul voters who have this blind spot called, well, you see, according to the Constitution, the draft is unconstitutional. Therefore, we don't need a draft. That's without thinking to the next step. If you start listening to that neuron-deficient lunatic from Texas, what you're going to wind up with is no currency, no country, and no bread on the table. That's why he has no polling data. That's why he's being why he's losing wherever he appears. Even in the most conservative district, they're not voting for that lunatic. Can't you understand that there's a consequence to your thinking and to your activities? 1-800-449-8255. You know, we're really talking about the fact of the matter that Obama and Panetta demanded that our troops be disarmed in Afghanistan when Panetta went there to give a cockamamie PR speech. He disarmed the military in the tent because he was afraid of being whacked in plain English. Now, the general who ordered this, Gurganus, probably did so at the orders of Panetta, who was frankly shaking in his boots. But why would Panetta even go there? He didn't go there to bolster our troops. You know how liberal politicians think. You know that this university creep Panetta went over there not to tell our troops, don't worry, we know 99.9% of you are great patriotic Americans. He went there to kiss the warlord's hand. He went there to kiss Karzai's hand to make certain that the war goes on, that the war drums keep beating, that the contracts keep flowing, that the green keeps coming into the hands of the most greedy contractors in American history. And no country can survive with this level of military-industrial complex. So they disarmed our troops. So the NAACP goes to the corrupt UN and says to them that voter ID laws are against the black people in this country. Have you ever heard anything like this? It's all happening because of one reason. The word begins with O and ends with A. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta did make his way down to Helmand Province first, where he met with U.S. Marines. An interesting occurrence happened there. The Marines, about 400 of them, were in the tent. They were actually told to leave the tent, take their weapons off, and then come back into the tent, which is very unusual. Usually, U.S. service members are allowed to hold on to their weapons while the Secretary of Defense is visiting them.
Attention, members of the United States military, their spouses, their parents. I beg you to use social media to spread this story throughout the entire U.S. military. And all you've got to do is say that Obama disarms U.S. Marines. That's all you got to say, because that's what happened. Now, I know that Obama was busy at a basketball game with that other genius from England, Cameron, eating hot dogs and watching people play basketball while the world is burning, which is another example of the commander-in-chief. But he sends this incompetent fool, Panetta, who had no background whatsoever qualifying him to be Secretary of Defense, according to anybody's analysis. By any analysis, the man was unqualified. He is put there as a front man. He goes there, and they disarm the U.S. Marines. Why? Why? Well, we hear because they didn't want to make the Afghan soldiers who were already disarmed, because they're so untrustworthy. They didn't want to make them feel uncomfortable. So they disarm our Marines in a combat zone, in a red-hot combat zone. They disarm them. So Leon Panetta, the fraud, why? Does he fear our troops? He fears that our U.S. Marines would have whacked him? That's the U.S. Defense Secretary? Why is he even in Afghanistan? He didn't go there to tell the U.S. Marines that the Obama administration backs them 100%. That we've not lost our respect for them. He went there to kiss the ring of that warlord, Karzai. And he did so to make certain that we're not kicked out of Afghanistan because, follow the money, because they want the war drums to be beaten and they want the war to go on. They have never had it so good. The amount of graft and corruption flowing out of these wars is why we're bankrupt. Now, you could find 100 domestic policies to explain it in part. But if you really want to get down to why this country is bankrupt, you have to look at the endless wars that were started under Bill Clinton, then followed up by George Bush, and now basically integrated into the American way of life by Barack Hussein Obama, who swore that he would end all wars, didn't he? How you liberals don't see this, I don't understand, because even the far-left MSNBC is shocked by the disarming of our Marines. He said he wanted to have the Marines look just like their Afghan partners. So that's the general. Should the general who gave this order be court-martialed and dismissed? Should Leon Panetta be forced to step down? What's the good of asking the question? We do not live in a participatory democracy. We don't have an opposition party. We have a Schmendrick from Massachusetts running around with checked pants. We have a fat slob from K Street named Newt Gingrich who's running around like he's still a candidate. And we have Mr. Sweater, Mr. Putz, the vest, running around. Mr. Vest, the putz from Pennsylvania, running around like he's still a candidate. A guy, if he was the principal of a high school, they would investigate him. It's beyond comprehension. So there is no opposition party. I have no answer for you other than to ask questions which may not have any validity because it isn't going to happen anyway. What's the difference if I say, should the draft come back, and everyone calling the show says yes? What do you think, the Republicans are listening and writing it down? Saying, oh, we 10 million people saying, they vote, took a poll, and everyone said, yes, bring back the draft. I think I'll bring it up as a measure tomorrow. I'm going to bring it right up tomorrow. Charles Schumer will seriously consider this. We don't live in a participatory democracy anymore. We lost our democracy somewhere over the last 10 years. We have a shell. We have a synthetic version. We have an ersatz democracy. Look it up, ersatz. Good word. We have an ersatz democracy, ersatz. That's like whipped cream, real whipped cream, as opposed to ersatz whipped cream, which is not made from cream. It's made from air rather than whipped cream. It's air and particles from somewhere else. That's what we have left of our democracy. We have false whipped cream. It's not even beef. It's red slime. We don't even have a beef. There's no beef there. Where's the beef? There is no beef. It's red slime. It's the trimmings left over from the bone. That's what we have left of the democracy. That's how we have the imposter in the White House. And that's how we have the imposter in the defense secretary's position. That's how we have an imposter as the energy secretary. You want me to go down the list? An imposter in every department. There's an imposter. The energy secretary, Stephen Chu, one of the biggest dolts in the history of the world. He won a Nobel Prize. How many geniuses have you met who are idiots in every other sphere of their life? He's one of them. So he got a PhD in physics, and then he won a Nobel Prize in physics for some wonderful discovery, right? But does that give him the capacity to understand policy? And the answer is obviously no. He was asked today in Congress about lowering gas prices. You know what he had the nerve to say? Our goal is not to lower gas prices, but to limit our dependence upon fossil fuels. This is the answer of a moron. He should be dismissed. Panetta should be dismissed. Sebelius should be dismissed. No, these departments shouldn't be eliminated. I disagree with those in politics who say they should eliminate these departments. No, the heads of these departments should be practical men and women who understand what is at stake for this nation. You don't have to throw the entire department out. In the case of several departments, perhaps you can argue it, but let's not get off the track. Let's go to the big issue. Should the draft be reinstituted in the United States of America? Now, the arguments are quite clear. If we reinstitute the draft, then the ruling class, that is the 400 mandarins who run this country, think about it. There are 300 and some odd million of us, last I checked. Is it now 400 million? I don't even know the number right now. Let's say it's between 300 and 350 million, the last I checked, ruled by 400 mandarins. That includes congressmen, congresswomen, senators, Senate women, and the cabinet and the president. 400 mandarins with long fingernails on their brain rule the rest of us like coolies were ruled by the mandarins in ancient China when China collapsed. Now, I could give you a history lesson of when China collapsed. China at the time was the most advanced country on the planet. Six masted sailing ships, gunpowder, you name it. The paper. And then it collapsed. You know why? Because a few mandarins, bureaucrats, who had no touch with the average Chinese individual, destroyed China and it fell into chaos. That's where we are historically.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
In a combat zone never leave their weapons. They can't be outside of their reach. So this is highly unusual. Concern over U.S. Marines armed in the presence of the Secretary of Defense, as far as I know, is unprecedented.
We have an administration in complete disarray. Welcome to the Savage Nation. I'm reminded of the Tsar of Russia before the country fell into revolution. It's a shock to believe that the Marines would be disarmed in a combat zone in order for the imposter Leon Panetta to feel comfortable and safe. That's the main story. It's the number one story. It's the one that is not going to go away. It's the one that's going to have reverberations for the next several months, right up to the election, primarily because anyone and everyone in the military or connected to a military family should be using social media to send the story around that this incompetent anti-military administration disarmed Marines in a combat zone in order to make the imposter Panetta feel safe as he gave a fake speech to about 200 troops. So I've raised the stakes on the question, on the issue, to raise the question, which I think begs being asked, which is, should the draft be reinstated in the United States of America? Now, why do I ask this question? I ask it because it's a loaded question. It will never happen in an election year. both parties would be terrified to even raise the issue, given the fact that most Americans have always been anti-war. Most Americans do not want to serve in the military, and that a volunteer force is a very good idea in a time of peace. Is there anyone listening to this show who would argue that we are in a time of peace? Is there anyone listening to the show who would argue that five tours of duty is a rational way to treat a human being? Do you know that during World War II, a man was asked to serve only one tour of duty? And if I remember correctly, it was less than a year. In Vietnam, it was 1 year. And 90% of the men who went over there couldn't wait to leave. They would count the days until they left and went back to the safety of the United States of America. Don't believe the war movies that everyone loved to go over there and fight with Charlie. Everyone was having a wonderful time in the jungle over there. Most of the men didn't want to be there and when the draft was in place, and they couldn't wait to get out of there because they knew that the likelihood is that they would die. World War II, do you think everyone who went over there was a vehement anti-Nazi who couldn't wait to die for his country? Then you're a fool if you believe that. The majority of Americans didn't want to fight even in World War II. They had to be dragged into the military. And when they were dragged into the military, most of them wanted to leave. They couldn't wait to get out of there. You have to understand the reality of it. Most men would rather be home in bed with their wives and playing with their children than holding a gun to protect their country. However, once they're drafted, they will fight, as has happened throughout history. So right now you have men who are loyal and patriotic, who have volunteered to fight for their country. And what they got for this was, today, the greatest disrespect in history, disarmed by the disarrayed anti-war, anti-military Obama administration. Never heard of before. Unheard of. So shocking, in fact, that even the anti-American MSNBC was shocked by it. Now, why did Panetta even go to Afghanistan is the bigger question. It was to kiss the ring of the warlord Karzai. Did he yet visit Fort Hood to tell the troops at Fort Hood that the massacre by the Muslim major Nidal Hassan will, first of all, never happen again, that they've made they put things in place to make sure that fanatics like this would never be in the military? No. Has he told the American people why Nidal Hassan, of Fort Hood fame, has not been tried yet? Because Obama has swept this massacre under the rug. Now, what happened in Afghanistan is a travesty and a tragedy, but we don't know who did it. We can assume that this mad soldier did it, but until there's a trial, we still don't know who did it. It could have been a Taliban, couldn't it? Or could they have taken him off his meds in order to make him go crazy? I mean, did you ever think about that? Has anyone thought about that curveball? Is it possible that the military was told to take this unstable soldier off his medication? He already had a brain injury. He was already in an accident. Is it possible they took him off his meds, knowing he might go off like a lunatic and do a Lieutenant Cali on the Afghanis? Now, why would they do that? In order to make sure that there's an outcry that we leave. That way Obama can then get another Nobel Prize for ending the war in Afghanistan before it descends into chaos. See, there's another Nobel plan before the election. That's a possibility, is it not? Welcome to the newly created socialist states of America, a land where poverty is rewarded, success is punished. Our worst enemies are praised. The military is used as a pawn. Our borders have descended into chaos, while corporations and cronies make off with all the wealth. Trickle-down tyranny. Unfortunately, my book is going to be more prescient than even I believed it would be. And I'm going to ask you to use social media to spread the word on trickle-down tyranny. I'm going to ask you to make certain that everybody in America understands what is at stake. So let's go to the callers. New York, WOR, draft or no draft? Jim, welcome to the program from the heart of, from liberal America, New York City. What's on your mind, Jim?
Hey, Michael, how are you? With respect to the question on the draft, we absolutely need a draft. Sadly, though, with my two boys rapidly approaching draft age, my feeling is as long as we have an illegitimate, racist, Marxist commander-in-chief, the only alternative we'd be left with would be to leave the country.
So what, you're saying no draft with this man in power?
No, we need a draft. We need a military, but if it came to my sons, we leave the country before I put them in harm's way with this clown.
Of course. Well, you mean with the rules of engagement that were put in place by George Bush, which led to many court-martials based upon them actually doing their job. I can understand where you're coming from. If I had young children, I'd feel the same way as you.
Hey, Michael, one other thing. That last clown that you had on that said no draft, we should have delayed our entry into World War II. You should have asked him how much longer would he have waited after Pearl Harbor should we have gone into World War II?
Well, he doesn't understand what he was talking about. I mean, I felt bad for him, but he wouldn't stop. He doesn't even understand the sequence of battles. You know that we almost lost World War II in the first few years? We could have lost that war. It took us that long to get ready for war, build up the war, build up the men to even fight the war because we were so beaten up by liberals in the 1930s. We almost lost World War II to Hitler.
Very much why we need a real military today.
And by the way, this is something that people don't want to accept. Was it not for the sacrifice of the Russians, we would have lost World War II. You know that as well, don't you?
Absolutely.
Do you know how many Russians died in the taking of Berlin at the end of the war? This is after Hitler's Air Force was defeated. This is after Hitler's army was largely defeated. How many Russians died in the final few months of World War II just to take Berlin? 400,000 Russians died taking Berlin. That's how fanatic the enemy was. Jim, I'm sending you a copy of what? If you name it, you gain it. What's the book called?
Oh, Michael, thank you so much, because I'm getting on a flight right now and I'm going to read your first book, Trickle Down Poverty, for the third time, but I'm looking for The Tyranny, and I can't wait to get a copy of it.
Okay, you got it. You're getting a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny after reading Trickle Up Poverty. There's no other trickle books possible after this, because if Obama gets elected, there's no more trickles, there'll be no more honesty, there'll be no more publication. I'll be right back. Posted another story on michaelsavage.com that I can't say it gets me sick because I expect it by now. I said vile, racist, black entertainer describes Obama's birthday party as black heaven. The headline speaks for itself. Vile, racist, black entertainer describes Obama's birthday bash as black heaven. Now, what if a vile, white racist from the Ku Klux Klan went out and did his roadside rants talking about white heaven because there was no one there but white people in the White House? Do you think that there might be some outcry in America? But as you well understand, we're living in a time warp where the most vile, racist kind of behavior and conversation can be occurring without so much as a peep out of the vermin who run the media, which is why I still stay in business. We have a hypocrite at every level of the White House, including the First Lady, in my estimation. I know you're not supposed to say a word about it, but I think it's worthy of it. Here she lectures us every day on what to eat. Eat carrots, eat cauliflower, eat broccoli, which I eat, by the way. Every day she tells you to eat a certain way. And here's the state menu for the imposter Cameron who's visiting the White House. The White House released the menu for the state dinner Wednesday, honoring British Prime Minister David Cameron. And what they were serving was bison and halibut. Bison, that's buffalo, for those of you who don't know, of course, and there's wines as well. First course, crisp halibut with potato crust. Potato crust, of course, as you well know, is laden with saturated fats. Shaved Brussels sprouts topped not with air, but with applewood smoked bacon. Michelle Obama wouldn't approve of that, would she? The third course consists of buffalo Wellington, red wine reduction, French beans, and cipollini onion. Finally, there is dessert, which I wouldn't feed to my dog, warm lemon steamed pudding with huckleberry sauce and pippin apples. Again, I don't think the First Lady would approve of a steamed pudding, would she? After all, steamed pudding makes you fat. After all, bison is not to be eaten because bison is meat. You don't want to eat meat in America, do you? You want to eat something light and something politically correct and something very liberal. I don't see any tofu on the menu. I don't see anything of the nature on the menu. Instead, I see the very same things that, well, people like to eat around the world, which is meat and potatoes with lots of butter and lots of dessert. But let's go to the biggest story of disarming the American Marines. Let's go into that one. Obama's defense secretary forces soldiers to disarm in war zone is my headline. I want you to understand that I have a genius for reducing stories to the essence of what the story is all about, which is why I've survived all these years in radio and why my website is becoming more and more popular by the day. Obama's defense secretary forces soldiers to disarm in a war zone. And I'm asking anyone in the military, military family, wives, parents, anyone who's ever served in the military, use the techniques that the left has perfected to spread the word. Use social media to send that headline around. Obama disarms Marines in war zone because he distrusts the troops. If you could ever vote for a Democrat, means that you have to have your head examined after a thing like this. At least that's one man's opinion. I'm not telling you what to think. I'm imploring that you think before you think and that you think before you vote. But I'm not telling you what to do. Should the general who gave this order be court-martialed? Maybe Obama didn't even give the order. After all, Obama was busy getting ready for a buffalo dinner, getting ready to buffalo the American people. So therefore, he may not even know what had happened. He was getting dressed for a dinner where buffalo was served, where the deer and the antelope don't play. Houston, Texas. John, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Dr. Savage. It's a pleasure to talk to you, sir.
Thank you.
I am a veteran myself. I've been probably about 70% of the world I've seen. I want to say I agree with the draft, but I want to take one step further. The U.S. is one of the very few countries left that does not have selective service. Most countries, you have 4 years of military service or 4 years of civil service. This allows people to learn a trade, and in any emergency, they can be called up and readily available. China.
All right. So your opinion is we should bring you have the opinion we should bring back the draft.
Yes, I do. But I say take it a step further, make it mandatory where every citizen has to do either 4 years of military or 4 years of civil service, where they learn a trade.
Well, that's a little risky because under Obama, 4 years of civilian service could mean giving out brochures about global warming or 4 years of giving out voter pamphlets to elect another corrupt socialist Democrat. So you got to be very careful with civilian service under corrupt administrations. It's a very dangerous idea in some regard. John, I'm sending you a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny. Stay on the line. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Should we bring back the draft, yes or no? That's the number one question. Let's go to WR New York. Andrew, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Sir, I don't think that the draft should be reinstated due to the fact that we have complete lunatics in command right now of our armies as well as our government. In 1945, during World War II, we had Eisenhower, MacArthur, Patton, people who, though men were lost, they cared about their men's lives and how to win a battle tactically. I don't think that the people who are in control nowadays have any ounce of wisdom on how to lead an army or a country, and I don't think that we should sacrifice our my friends and myself under the control of people who...
Well, it's a very, very, very careful statement that you just made, Andrew, and I understand what you're saying, but we can't limit when our men serve in the military. We have a growing threat from China, and my fear is that if we don't ramp up the military 2 to 3 years ahead of when we need them, they're liable to crush us. They have 30 million excessive single men. You're aware of that, aren't you?
I am.
Right. And they're not all being trained to be busboys in San Francisco. 30 million extra men in China. And that is because their one-child policy was put in place strictly to produce extra men in case of war. They also, you understand this, have euthanized female babies in China for a very long period of time. You don't know that because you don't want to hear about this. I can tell you stories that make you weep. But you're not dealing with a normal nation. You're not dealing with people like you. They don't think like Christians do. In fact, if you studied it, you'd be frightened to see that they haven't changed an iota, even though they're building up their economy. Fundamentally, they're still a monstrous communist dictatorship. They will go to war against this country at some point. Am I making this up? Is it hyperbole? Well, study it. Study it and then get back to me. Don't ask your administration to tell you whether this is true or false. Study it and then get back to me. Okay, so therefore, we need to amp up and ramp up our military 2 to 3 years ahead of the time we need it. And I say there's a very good argument for not only bringing back a draft across the board, both for men and women, incidentally. That's right. It would cut down on the behavior of many of these young people. It would teach them that there's a responsibility beyond themselves. It would be very good for America. But what about all the military bases that have been stolen and converted to liberal heavens, like the Presidio? What do we do with them?
Last night, as president, I shared with the prime minister a uniquely American tradition of bracketology. March Madness.
I can't listen to him anymore. I'm embarrassed to tell you. Can't go on. Well, I'm going to tell you what went on at Obama's 50th birthday. It just came out. You're not going to read this in your local paper. There's a vile black racist comedian whose name I won't mention, who is boasting about what went on at the White House. He called it. They said the president's big birthday was a black heaven at an L.A. club. It's on video. We're going to get you the sound for tomorrow. He was boasting about it. He called it black heaven. And I'm going to read you some of the things he said and edit out some of the words that this black racist, untalented vermin had to say. An audience member at the Comedy Store filmed more than 9 minutes of this loudmouth, louts act where he said, I felt like I died and went to black heaven. As the party went on, the S got blacker and blacker. He said, well, he said many things. The video was posted to Real Talk New York without a transcript, but we have it on sound and we're getting it. Here is the vile black racist comedian about your president's 50th birthday, blacked out by the media. Quote, as the party went on, the S got blacker and blacker. There were like official white people there, like Geithner and the vice president. What began as a picnic dinner in the Rose Garden soon got wild, Rock said, thanks to DJ Cassidy. Then just when I thought it couldn't get no blazy in love, me and Jay looked at each other and we realized we're never going to do shows here, man. They're never going to have me. You got to realize the White House is made by slaves, all right? And he goes on. And he says, on the night of the party, he tweeted about it. And he goes on and talks about some of the white people who were there, the few white people who were let in, like Geithner and the vice president. That did not make him uncomfortable. He said, as the party got wilder, it got blacker and blacker. And he says, you got to realize we were doing a doogie in the White House. We did a doogie as the night wore on. I don't know what that is, frankly. I never read that. I'm not up on that one. And he says that world, not just being the president, but being the first black anything. And he says, if you're the first black anything, people, P and S, well, I can't go on with this, okay, because it's so disgusting. This is a very sick man. This is a very demented man, but he was invited to perform at the White House. And he says, Mrs. Obama let him pick the most uncontroversial thing to champion. And he goes on and on about how she tells people to eat bananas. But in fact, she didn't eat bananas that night. She ate barbecue. She said it was barbecue. It's like me and Jay-Z and Emmett Smith and Steve Harvey. They were like official white people. They're like Geithner and the vice president, like those kind of white people. Official white people. You hear this? Would fly very well with the media. He goes on. He says it was great. Me and Jay were talking about rich black wars, a gas guzzler. You know, what kind of bodyguards you're using now. Oh, Panamanian. I've got some South American guys myself. It was a great party. I mean, they had entertainment. And he talks about the entertainment. And some of it I can't even repeat even in an edited version. He says, just then when I thought it could get no crazy in love, Beyonce, and then Obama's kids started dancing. They came, Sasha and Malia started doing the doogie. I'm like, OS, like it couldn't get no blacker. This is what's going on in the White House right now. This is the kind of degeneracy. This is the kind of filth, this is the level that the Obamas have brought to the United States of America. They have trashed the presidency. They have trashed the White House. You say, well, I shouldn't be talking about such things. Well, tell it to Chris Rock, because he told it to you, not me. He went up on the stage and boasted about his appearance at an L.A. club, and it was captured on tape by an audience member who is now circulating it on the internet. So you get a real backroom picture of Mr. and Mrs. O when you're not looking. Now you understand the context of why the military was disarmed when their stooge Panetta was sent into a war zone. Just didn't come out of a vacuum. Panetta is a stooge. He's a front man, handpicked by the communists who are running this country into the ground, running it off the rails, destroying every institution that's worthy of anything. It doesn't come out of the thin air. But I think I've said all I should say today. What about you? You want to say anything? You want to take me on about this? You can call me at 1-800-449-8255. New York, WORP, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, after what I heard today, disarming the military in a war zone, if they ever come up with a draft again under this administration with a bunch of clowns he has running it and him, I would tell anybody I cared about to go to Canada, go anywhere. I would defect from this country. I wouldn't serve them. I'm sorry. God forgive me. I can't believe I'm even saying this. But I would not have anybody I cared about serve in this military today.
I would like to know how anybody in the military, any military family could ever vote for this man again. I don't understand it. I can't understand their thinking.
Michael, you know who I'd love to hear what he has to say about this? Alan West, Colonel Allen. I'd love to hear what his take on this is.
Oh, my God. Yeah, maybe we'll get him on tomorrow. No, it's a new low, Pete, but each day brings a new low with this administration. Do you think that Panetta is qualified to be defense secretary, as I don't think? Do you think he is? I don't, personally. What are his qualifications?
You know,
no one even knows who he is. Nobody even knows who Leon Panetta is. Leon Panetta was in retirement running a stooge university called Monterey University in Monterey, which was a creation for him and his wife, a hobby horse in the middle of nowhere. And he was handpicked by Obama to be CIA director with no background. Then he was made defense secretary with no background. Now he goes to Afghanistan and they disarm the Marines when he gives a speech. How much lower does it get? It's going to get much worse. That's my opinion. Pete, I'm sending you a gift. If you name it, you gain it. What is it?
Trickle down tyranny.
All right, it's on your mind. I'm getting it into the world's consciousness. Maybe I can save America from another disaster. Maybe we can just pull this one off, despite the worst efforts in history by the Republican Party to evict this team from the White House. Maybe, just maybe, in spite of themselves, Romney will win. We don't know. 1-800-449-8255. What do you think about disarming the troops? Was it a good idea or a bad idea? I'd like to hear from a liberal from anywhere in America who thinks it was a good idea to disarm the troops before they went to listen to a stooge speech by Leon Panetta, who unfortunately looks just like Peter Sellers in one of his worst roles. Every time I see Leon Panetta, I for some reason cannot help but thinking about Inspector Clouseau. Now, it would be laughable if this was 100 years after the fact and America had survived this administration. And it was 100 years ago, and everyone in the history books knows that we had a crypto-communist regime take over America, saw through it, and they threw them out on their behinds, and half of them were indicted afterwards for crimes against America. You know, 100 years later, they were indicted, they were investigated, and they were found to be the frauds and the corrupt individuals that we all know them to be. And we were looking back upon it a century later, but we're living through it. We're living through this right now. This is not a normal Democrat administration. I keep saying this to you. This is not a normal Democrat administration of class and of patriotism. This is something else. Now, as you well know, I've been a good boy all week. Monday and Tuesday, I didn't do politics. I talked about eating at Wendy's with my dog on Sunday. I joked. I got off the political trail because I knew there was only so much you could take or I could take. My voice is kind of marginal today. I'm starting to feel a sore throat from the anguish I feel in my guts. My throat is getting it first. My throat is failing me from the rage that I feel building up in my guts from what this man is getting away with. It's not so much that he's doing it. It's that he's getting away with it. When I see that this lout, this racist entertainer, this lout goes on a stage at a comedy club and unloads on what he really did there and what he really saw there, and I really know this is going, I knew this was going on. I try to warn you. But when it finally comes out in the boys and the girls in the government-controlled media, I won't even call it the MSM anymore. That phrase has no meaning, mainstream media. I would call it the government-controlled media, the GCM. The GCM, the government-controlled media, ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, and a good portion, unfortunately, of our once favorite Fox News. They've been compromised by Murdoch, who is terrified he's going to be indicted by Obama, so they were given their marching orders under the leprechaun to pull back on their criticism of this illegitimate administration. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. There are many stories. This is only one of them. I better read you the rest of the headlines before you forget them. Obama has said he will give Russia secret U.S. missile data in exchange for Russia's support of a missile defense shield. U.S. troops in a war zone were ordered to disarm before a speech given in Afghanistan by Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta. There are many other stories. Eat as I say, not as I eat, says Michelle Obama. You eat bananas, I eat buffalo. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS that you can't pay? Call now for immediate help. 800-985-1932. At Community Tax Relief, we help consumers like you. If you take on the IRS alone, you could be facing levies, liens, even wage garnishments, personal or business tax issues. If you owe the IRS $10,000 or more, they will aggressively come after you. Protect yourself and your family today from what the IRS can do to you. Call now. 800-985-1932. They can freeze your bank account, even garnish your wages. Our expert team of tax professionals can solve your tax problems once and for all. Call now for a free 5-minute tax debt analysis. 800-985-1932. 800-985-1932. 800-985-1932.
Call Michael now at 1-800-449-8255.
Savage.
A freelance TV producer discovers the cover-up of a failed radical Muslim terrorist attack. The FBI tells him to stay off the case, but they don't know Jack Hatfield. From nationally syndicated radio talk show host Michael Savage, the new thriller, Abuse of Power. Working with a veteran Green Beret and a seductive Yemeni agent, Jack Hatfield exposes a terrorist group known as the Hand of Allah. They uncover a plot within the highest corridors of power that could dwarf 9/11. Abuse of Power, a lightning-paced thriller that spans the globe from Europe and Israel to the back alleys of San Francisco's Chinatown. Based on a true story of a journalist smeared by a liberal media attack group. Abuse of Power, the new thriller from New York Times best-selling author Michael Savage. Available now at Amazon.com or at a bookstore near you. Abuse of Power. Get it while you still can.
Hey, I'm Michael Savage. Why have I been telling you to call 1-800-LESS-GAS? Why? Because your vehicle can get 22% better mileage. That's why. 22% better mileage. A study by Federal Consumer Protection backs it up. 1-800-LESS-GAS. Government test data describes it as very effective. It exceeds mileage guarantees, and it has an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. These are amazing reports. They're real, and that's why I want you to call 1-800-LESS-GAS, especially now. The inventor and his product have received the attention of Motor Trend Magazine, Popular Science, and Popular Mechanics. He's even met with General Motors. Listen, this product has a positive 30-year track record. And it's made in the USA. That's right, made in America, not China. 22% better mileage. Call 1-800-LESS-GAS. That's 1-800-537-7427. 1-800-537-7427. Get up to 22% better mileage. Just call 800-LESS-GAS now. This is Michael Savage. I want you to know that freedom of speech is not free. Believe me, courageous radio stations like this one want your advertising dollars to pay their bills and be able to bring you my show and all the others you've come to depend on for the real truth. Talk radio in many ways is America's immune system, but it needs your booster shot. If you're a business, you need to put your money where your heart is. Advertise on this station. And here's the good news. According to Talkers Magazine, ads airing on talk stations like this one generate 2 to 3 times the response from customers than other radio formats would generate. Why? Because talk radio listeners support with their dollars the advertisers that support the radio shows that they love. If you're a business, any kind of business, I don't care if you're a roofer, a plumber, advertise on this station. If you're a listener, do business with the businesses that advertise on my show and others on this station. For more information on how you can buy ads on this station or my show, call 877-474-6605. Write it down, 877-474-6605 to protect freedom of speech. God bless America. I'm a speed eater. I don't like to wait. Ask anyone who knows me. That's why I hate restaurants. I order in advance. I get there, I eat, and I leave. I can't sit through a long thing. Everything starts to hurt in my body. I'm more like Chinese in that regard. I like sticks. Shovel it down. Goodbye, Charlie. Here's the tip. Don't talk to me. Serve me. I want out. You know, boom, bang, bing, bang, hook, bang, doop, out. That's how I like to eat anywhere. Remember pinball machines? You'd play till your head rang like the bing bong, and you try to cheat it by giving it a little, but you lifted it. You know, that pinball machine was like life itself. You try just slightly to get an edge over life, you might succeed. But there's a fine point, and you don't know where that point is in a pinball game. It's interesting. If you lift it a little too high, the machine tilts and the game's over. It's like life itself. Cheat your partner in business over and over again, and bing, the pinball machine goes dead on you, and you wind up with nothing.
Savage.
Well, I have a breaking news story for you. I reported on the vile black racist entertainer boasting about O's birthday party as black heaven in a rant at the comedy club in L.A., which was captured on video by someone who was there. It has just been taken down by the vile black racist entertainers organization, which says it's copyrighted material. And there's no question in my mind that the White House heard about this. They got news that they were disclosed and exposed by the vile black racist entertainer who was boasting on stage, and they have removed it from all websites. You can't find it anymore. Now, the only reference you can find it, you can find a reference to the article, but you can't actually get the act anymore. The vile black racist entertainers group took it down. And so you can only see the headline on michaelsavage.com, vile black racist entertainer describes O's birthday as black heaven. But if you link to the actual source, Obama Foodorama, and then to a New York site which had it up, you can't find it anymore. Obviously, Axelrod understands that the American people must be kept stupid and must be kept in the fantasy belief that Michelle eats vegetables and fruits and that everyone invited there is just oh so proper and oh so polite. Tribe given permission to kill bald eagles. There's another one. There's your bald eagle, the American symbol, being killed by American Indians now, saying their religious freedom was being violated. How about George Soros, the ferret, the 81-year-old ferret? George Soros offers his ex-girlfriend $1 million to go away, but the ferret's offer was turned down. She wants $50 million for having slept with the ferret. She says the ferret offered her an apartment and that she's entitled to $50 million for, I guess, a few minutes whatever. You know, there used to be a phrase, a night with Venus, a lifetime with Mercury. If I had the ability, I would turn it into a planetary story myself, but I can't yet put the planets together. That was a very funny statement. I heard it when I was a kid because it was before my time, a night with Venus, a lifetime with Mercury. An old friend told it to me. He was an old man at the time. And what he meant was a night with Venus, you know what that means, a lifetime with Mercury. They used to use Mercury to treat syphilis, right? So it was a joke that guys used to tell each other, you know, the generation before me. But when you look at a ferret like Soros, who's 81 years old, who had a girlfriend in her 20s, who is now suing him for $50 million, claiming that he promised her an apartment, and he's only offering her $1 million for that short affair. I guess you could say a night with Venus, a lifetime with, but I don't know I do, but I can't use it because it's a family show. I know the exact planet that I would use here. A night with Venus, a life with, but I can't use it because you'll misinterpret the planet. It's not Mercury. It's not Venus. It's not Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto. You have to pick the planet that would fit, okay? A night with Venus, a lifetime with, and you have to fill in the planet. If you can do that correctly, you get a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny. I think you can pretty much see what the planet is. I remember when I learned that in high school, many very eager men just sailed under Neptune, Pluto. Remember when you had to learn things and you had to use acronyms to remember them? And that's what we used to do, to remember the planets. We had to use little tricks in high school to remember. Today, of course, they would consider that bad for the student to remember anything, because as long as you can use the F word, you can become a famous vile comedian. You can create your own performance piece just by screaming against various things with vile racist words. What do you need to know about the planets for? You know, understand that's how the world works. I know 50 words of English. That's all you need to know. 50 filthy. I know 50 words of English. You got that rap song ready? I used to do that one a few years ago. Chad in Sacramento, welcome to the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Yeah, hi, I'm an independent, and I actually disagree with you for once on disarming the troops. There was an assassination attempt, I guess, on Leon Panetta this morning, and it was a standard protocol, basically, to disarm the troops.
That's true. It was an assassination attempt by an Afghani, but we should disarm the entire military because of the Afghani who tried to kill him, right?
There's Afghani troops on the base, and there could be a...
Well, no, that's true. I think that the U.S. Marines should not even be allowed to have weapons at all in Afghanistan after this event. I think they should go over there with Bibles and... Well, no, that would be racist to be missionaries. Do you think that they should have any weapons at all, or should they not even have weapons after this?
I think they should have weapons. Are you referring to the Afghan military?
No, you're saying that it was good to disarm the U.S. Marines because Panetta is a chicken and was afraid of them and doesn't trust them. Do you think Panetta's qualified to be defense secretary? And if so, on what basis is he qualified?
They only disarmed the troops that were in the tent where he was.
No, but let's deal with the bigger issue. Is Leon Panetta qualified to be defense secretary? And if so, on what basis?
I despise the whole administration. I don't think he's qualified. I've never even heard of the guy. So, yeah, I don't.
All right. He's the guy who looks like Peter Sellers in Inspector Clouseau.
Yeah, Mr. Big.
All right. So you're saying that there was a high likelihood that a Marine would kill Panetta and they should be disarmed? That it was correct to disarm them?
I think it was more of a standard protocol. They wanted to disarm. There's Afghani troops on the base, and instead of just disarming the Afghans.
But Chad, listen. I don't need to insult you. You don't need to insult me. But the fact of the matter is, the Afghani troops had been disarmed because nobody trusts them. Many of them are fragging our own troops because they're backstabbers and backshooters. So they disarm them. That's normal protocol to disarm them because they're untrustworthy. We don't know who they are. A good percentage of them are Taliban in Afghani uniform, so that makes sense. But you think that then we should then disarm our Marines because we don't trust the Afghanis?
No, I think by them doing that, instead of just disarming the Afghan soldiers that were in the tent, they disarmed everybody as of, you know, a way not to slap them all. It would be a slap in the face to say, we're just going to...
Well, that's right. So they insulted the entire U.S. Marine Corps, but isn't that part and parcel of the Obama administration?
That is a good point. That is a good point.
Don't you understand that this is the actual reality of the Obama administration that distrusts the military and, in particular, the Marines? They don't trust them. But why did Panetta go there is the bigger question. Why would he fly into a war zone? He only went for one reason. He didn't go there to settle the nerves of the U.S. troops and say that we support you. He went there to kiss the ring of Karzai, and that's the bigger issue. Why did he kiss the ring of Karzai? Because they don't want the war to end. They need the zillions of dollars flowing through the government media, through the military-industrial complex. They must keep this cash flow alive in order to make certain that Obama gets reelected. There's a big picture here. And we shouldn't lose it in the aftermath of this disgraceful attempt to disarm our troops by Panetta. It wasn't an attempt. He did disarm the men in the tent. This is the greatest insult to the U.S. Marines in my lifetime. It's such a shock that even the liberal media is shocked by it. I think this story is going to get bigger tomorrow. I don't think it's going to get smaller. And I think that Obama is going to have to come out from behind his hot dog and roll and address this issue. I don't think the story is going away personally. I think it's going to get much bigger. But an even bigger story is that the NAACP has gone to the corrupt, degenerate, anti-woman human rights council and said that U.S. voter ID laws are racist, and they want the U.N. to weigh in on this. This is astonishing when you consider that the U.S. Human Rights Council includes Saudi Arabia, where women are not even permitted to vote. It includes monstrous communist dictatorships like Cuba, where there are no human rights. This is where the NAACP went. What does this tell you about the NAACP is the real question. Think about it and get back to me tomorrow, right here on your local affiliate. 1-800-449-8255. I'll be right back to talk about these and other topics.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Violation of the code.
And I'm saying I will check it out and
let
verify
me give this
that.
To you.
Thank you very much.
And we'll take it down for you and put
no,
that
No, you up. Will not. This is private property.
Well,
you
watch
are
us
not.
Take it down.
If we get rid of that guy, we'll have a better one for the whole country, too.
God bless America and our president.
If I hung
at
a flag, like, if I hung a flag,
president.
If you look at his campaign posters from 2008, and you compare them to the posters of Mao and Stalin, they were almost identical. They could have been made up by the same people. And that's their mentality. It doesn't matter what they say.
We come back in 2 days.
Works. Fair enough.
You have to listen to some of this audio, because even the left-wing media was shocked that the U.S. troops were forced to disarm before Panetta's speech in Afghanistan. No one can believe this administration has gone so crazy.
The Marines in a combat zone never leave their weapons. They can't be outside of their reach. So this is highly unusual. Concern over U.S. Marines armed in the presence of the Secretary of Defense, as far as I know, is unprecedented. You know, we've been there many times with the secretary, with the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, and the soldiers, the Marines, are always armed in a combat zone, but I've never seen an incident where they have been forced to disarm themselves. Right. The thought, even the suspicion that a U.S. Marine would open fire on the Secretary of Defense, unbelievable.
And listen to the president making a joke about the British burning down the White House during the War of 1812.
It's now been 200 years since the British came here to the White House under somewhat different circumstances. They made quite an impression. They really lit up the place. But we moved on.
Finally, after listening to President Obama discussing,
it is indeed a blessing, a privilege, and an honor to be here with the President of the United States, President Obama, and Prime Minister David Cameron. I'd like to welcome you both first. I'm going to start with you first of all, President Obama.
Well, I've got to say both teams are shooting terribly, and the maybe nerves. These are not teams that normally end up coming to the tournament, but. You know, some of this is just going to be somebody getting a few open shots outside to open things up, because it's real clogged in the middle.
The news today is beyond belief. The National Association for the Advancement of Colored People has gone to the United Nations and asked the fascist Nazis at the UN, which includes Saudi Arabia, who bar female voting, and other throwback nations, to put American voting laws on trial. Saudi women can't even vote. What does that tell you about the NAACP? How about Obama's picture on a flag? The anti-American Democratic Party officials in Florida put up a flag with Obama's image on the flag. Local war veterans were incensed. Can you believe this one? It gets even worse. Panetta, defense secretary, flies into Afghanistan. U.S. troops were ordered to disarm before a speech he gave in Afghanistan. Never heard in history before. Never in history has a defense secretary spit in the face of our fighting men like this. All of this happening under Barack Hussein Obama. And I warned you, as I warn you over and over again in Trickle Down Tyranny, I must read that this is the most divisive anti-American administration in history. It seems as though they are working for some other government. I don't know how else to put it. U.S. troops disarmed for Leon Panetta, and there's no shame from this man, this third world worshiper, this fraud, this imposter? 1-800-449-8255. It gets worse. I mean, there's one story after another. It just gets one story after another shows you what we're facing in this country. And I've given you the headlines. UN Human Rights Council delves into U.S. voter ID laws. Have you ever heard anything like this? Obama willing to give Russia secret missile data? Which side is he on? Which side is Obama on? Which side is Obama on? Trickle-down tyranny tells it all to you. Crushing Obama's dream of the socialist states of America. You have one chance left, one vote left, one book left. Don't leave me in the lurch and don't leave yourself in the lurch. It's the only book you need to stop Obama before we lose all of our constitutional rights. I need you to go and buy it right now on Amazon.com. Go to my website and check it out. I don't know how else to put it. Everything's at stake. Everything's in play. What else? Marines disarmed for Panetta's speech? Can you believe this? I mean, why would a defense secretary disarm the U.S. Marines before a speech in Afghanistan? Typically, American forces in Afghanistan have kept hold of their weapons when old Panetta addressed them. But on Wednesday, about 200 Marines were told to take their weapons outside of the large tent at Camp Leatherneck where Panetta spoke and to leave them there, while Afghan troops already were unarmed. The commander on the scene said he was acting on orders from higher-ups. Sergeant Major Brandon Hall said he was told to get the weapons out. All I know is I was told to get the weapons out, he told the New York Times. Somebody got itchy, that's all I've got to say. Somebody got itchy, we just adjust. American officials later said that the order came from the top commander in Helmand Province, Major General Mark Garganis. He should be fired immediately and court-martialed. He should be court-martialed. You've got one of the most important people in the world in the room, he told the newspaper, insisting that the order had nothing to do with the Sunday's incident in which an American staff sergeant went door-to-door in Afghan villages, killing 16. This is not a big deal, Garganis said. This is what we have now as generals under Obama. This is the war against America, the war against the military, the war against the church, the war against the family, the war against the church, the war against the soldiers. Shame on all of these anti-American people. We'll talk about more of this right here on The Savage Nation. If you want to hear more, I can give you more. It's all on michaelsavage.com. I don't know if I have the ability to read any more of this for you, because it's getting crazier by the day under this man. It gets crazier by the day. Tribe given permit to kill bald eagles. The tribe claimed its religious freedom was being violated because they couldn't slaughter eagles. You want more? I can give you much more, and I will right here on The Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255.
The controversy over voter photo IDs has reached the United Nations. The Human Rights Council, whose some members have not allowed women to vote, only in the last 10 years, one nation that still does not allow women to vote at all, where they're considering American photo voter ID laws at a meeting on minority rights in Geneva. That's where a delegation from the NAACP is at right now, presenting a case against the photo ID laws here in the United States. The NAACP claims those laws are discriminatory and will lead to voter suppression. Supporters say, though, that they will stop voter fraud. The NAACP says they will have two American citizens there. One, a woman who was convicted of a drug-related offense in Virginia who's afraid she won't be able to vote. And a student from Texas Christian University who's worried he won't be able to vote because he only has a student ID and an out-of-state driver's license, not a Texas photo ID.
You know how much that irritates me? Well, just think how your throat would feel this spring without Pine Brothers softish throat drops. Remember Pine Brothers? Those soft, delicious throat drops we all grew up with, the ones your parents bought to soothe you when you had a sore throat that you couldn't stop eating after your throat got better? Well, they're back in natural honey and wild cherry flavors, and they're just as wonderful and effective as you can remember. Visit them on the web at pinebrothers.com. That's pinebrothers.com.
Savage.
The economy's so bad, how come the restaurants are so full? I don't understand that. If the economy's so bad, how come the restaurants are packed? The roads are full of new cars. People are on vacation already. How does this work? I don't know. What is there, like two societies that I'm living in? Do you want me to read from the Political Zoo? being sarcastic or satirizing politicians and media figures, because most of you never heard of the book. Or you want me to do something else. It's open mic to Mike at the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255. Really, I'll work for you. We'll work for food. We'll work for you. We'll work for food. And in the political zoo, the satire of these various figures, I satirize Boxer Bush, Jimmy Carter, James Carville, Hugo Chavez, Dick Cheney, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, George Clooney, Katie Coran Couric, Maureen Dowd, Dianne Feinstein, Newt Gingrich, Ruth Gator Ginsburg, Rudy Giuliani. Where is he, by the way? How come he hasn't thrown his glasses in the ring? Al Gore, Jesse Jackson, Kim Jong-il, John Kerry, Larry King, Rush Limbaugh, Bill Maher, John McCain, Bill O'Reilly. That's why he never forgave me. It's why I'm banned on Fox News. He has the worst temper in the entire media, according to people who know him. The meanest of all of them is O'Reilly. No humor whatsoever. I mean, they claim liberals have no humor. This guy has never forgiven me for a few things I said about him. All I do is call him the leprechaun. Big deal, Bill. Sheesh, Bill. All I said was lecherous leprechaunus. I mean, what was so bad about that, Bill? Bill O'Reilly was known as top mammal in the Fox News pundit cage, the American porcupine, being a large terrestrial rodent well protected by its prickly exterior. Ooh. And his Latin binomial was lecherus leprechaunus. When challenged, it erects its quills, swings its stout tail, and threatens to release the barbed tips into challenger's skin. Known for its grunting or groaning delivery, the porcupine is active mainly at night and is found occasionally on televisions in the sagebrush plains of the West. Also, according to legal filings that were settled, the American porcupine will occasionally try to find cable station staff willing to play games like Fetch the Loofah as part of its bizarre mating ritual. So that's why you never see Michael Savage on, you know, that talk show. They bring up talk shows you never heard of. Never Michael. It doesn't matter anymore. I'm too far advanced in my career for it to matter. So you could see why the O'Reilly factor runs the station. But until then, a word of warning to all you ladies out there in the Savage Nation, I wrote. If you phone O'Reilly's show during porcupine mating season, which lasts from about January to December, do your best to sound like Janet Reno, avoid the subjects of Greek food and cleansing devices, and above all, steer clear of the porcupine's biggest turn-on, namely himself. Oh! A porcupine in heat is a dangerous beast. If he loves you, you'll be able to count the ways. If he loves you, I haven't read this in years. If he loves you, you'll be able to count the ways. In fact, you'll be able to count them by the thousands while you pluck them the morning after. Oh, come on, Bill. Have a sense of humor. Don't be like Nancy Pelosi and Hillary Clinton. Nancy Pelosi was known as, let's see, leftist irrationalis. Nancy Pelosi, leftist irrationalis. With its large beak and small head, the distempered rainbow parakeet, the distempered rainbow parakeet caws with great frequency and volume, yet lacks mental capacity to emit anything original or intelligent. Fortunately, the bird has developed an adaptation that helps it to cope with this problem. The beak's large upper mandible is notched for its little bird foot to fit in. Decked with bright blue plumage, the female of the species mates for life, usually with strong and crafty males, capable of building large nests and stashing a surplus of fruits and nuts therein. Not only does this preserve the pair from want, but also frees the female to spend nearly all of its waking hours bobbing through the jungle, screeching at any animals not of its flock, and pretending to care about those that have no nests and food at all. Although its original habitat was Maryland, the breed has since migrated to the San Francisco Bay Area, where it aggressively climbed the political pecking order. Today it can be found both in California and Washington, D.C., chirping away mindlessly in either environ. Curiously, aside from its lower-than-average intelligence, the parakeet suffers from one prominent congenital disability. It is only capable of flapping about in circles, primarily because it is born with only a left wing. Nobody has ever written anything better than this, political satire in our time. Sean Penn, pesky apologista. Native to the left coast, the big-beaked toucan is a colorful and perpetually ill-tempered bird of paradise, born and bred in the protected environs of Hollywood. But unlike most toucans, this one is strangely compelled to migrate to war zones and disaster areas. While adverse to the glare of flashbulbs, hence the bird's notoriety for striking out at photographers, the big-beaked toucan can deftly mimic the dove but in front of television news cameras. This particular breed of toucan gets its name from its decidedly large beak, perfect for tracking down bad scripts and sticking that giant proboscis where it doesn't belong. Not bad. Sean Penn, the toucan tough guy, has a long history of appearances in cinema. It's pretty good. I'm not going to read it all to you. Yes or no? Keep it up or not? What would you like to hear? Houston, Texas. Jared, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, who do you like?
Well, they're all, none of them are living.
Oh, gosh. I mean, if you do the zoo, and you had to identify...
Wait a minute. See, this is an interesting question. Must I like any of the Republican candidates? Is it a requirement?
No. But there's got to be someone...
So, in other words, I'm a commentator. Remember that. I'm only a commentator. And my job is to be a pain in the you-know-what for the political class. It doesn't matter what side of the aisle they're on. That's my job. Now, the truth is 80% of the criminals are Democrats. 20% of them are Republicans, and they're all bad in that regard. But that doesn't mean I have to give one group a pass because they're not Democrats. The Democrats are virtually all corrupt. Every one of them is a corrupt socialist, without exception. I don't know of a single exception. With Republicans, there's probably, I don't know, a good percentage of them who are honest men. But a lot of them are louts, total louts and criminals, just like their Democrat colleagues, which is why nothing changes in Washington, which is a good thing, actually. It's actually a good thing because more or less the restaurants are still full. People are going away for vacation. Most of us could go around without guns in our hand. And you see, we almost had an insurrection in America. Don't tell me it's about the election. How did this happen? This goes back to the 18th century when Iowa was important. I don't understand how they get away with this. Hundreds of years later, they're telling us that a few obese, see those people? They're going to tan it. What does that tell you about the electorate? Who's going to be the next president? What does that tell you about the government you have? Everything.
Savage.
There's a resolution in Congress, House Concurrent Resolution 107, to impeach Obama if he does not ask for congressional approval before using military action. Joining us right now in the Savage Nation to discuss this is the author of this resolution, Congressman Walter Jones, Republican, North Carolina. Congressman Jones, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's been a long time since I've been on your show. I'm glad to have this opportunity to talk to you tonight.
So explain your resolution to my audience, the Savage Nation.
Well, Michael, this is very simple. We are just following the Constitution, and we are speaking to the War Powers Clause, Section 2C. And what we're saying is that a president, unless this country is attacked first, if we are attacked, the president has every right to initiate a response. But in the cases where we are not attacked, and I go back to Bosnia, I go back to Libya, the Congress has been a spectator in the debate on war policy. And what this bill will do, resolution will do, in my humble opinion, it brings Congress back into the debate on war issues, and that's what the Constitution says we should be doing. To me, this strengthens the Congress position as it relates to war issues.
Can you explain to those who don't understand why is getting congressional approval before using military force?
Michael, I don't want to oversimplify it. It is required by the Constitution. And since World War II, this Congress, this nation has never declared war. And if you think about it, we did give President Bush the resolution to say, if you need force, you may go into Afghanistan or Iraq. That was one of my biggest mistakes as a member of Congress in voting for that. But now, Mr. Obama, President Obama, is following the same resolution that we gave President Bush back in 2001 or 2002. Congress has not, the only way Congress can debate the policy is how we fund the war. And to my thinking, that just weakens Congress's strength. We for too long have advocated our responsibility to the White House, and that does have one thing to do with President Obama. It could be President Bush. It could be any one of them. We need to follow the Constitution, and we need to be involved. Other than funding wars, we need to be debating the pros and the cons of being at war.
Have any so-called Republicans in Congress signed on to support your resolution?
Well, Michael, we just put it in last Thursday, and I have been amazed with the public support for this resolution. And as you know, the House is on a break. We go back next Monday. But I've been working on this bill for 7 months with Bruce Fine, who's a constitutional lawyer. We've been working together on this. And when I put it in, was before the exchange between Senator Sessions and Defense Secretary Panetta. I didn't even know about that exchange because I was driving home until Monday. We put the bill in Thursday afternoon. To me, I'm just sick and tired of seeing the Congress being spectators in the debate about war.
What kind of backlash are you getting from the socialist Democrats like Nancy Pelosi?
No, at this point, we have, again, the House is on the break, and we have not gotten any response. And anyone that would read this concurrent resolution would see that we took the word the, T-H-E, out and put the word a president, not the president, but a president, because this really isn't about President Obama. This is about the role of Congress in making war. And again, we for too long have been a silent partner in the process of going to war.
Is there really any chance that if Obama does use more military force without congressional approval that he will be impeached?
Well, this is a concurrent resolution. What we're trying to do is to start the debate of the role of Congress and the role of an administration. And there would be, I think, an outrage if he did, I'll put it that way, but this does not speak to any action that the president would take today or tomorrow. I'm just one of these members of Congress. I went to the federal courts when President Clinton bombed Bosnia. I was one of 31 members of Congress that went to the federal courts, led by Congressman Tom Campbell, who himself is a law professor at Stanford University. At that time, he was a member of Congress. If you remember, when we went into Libya, I joined Dennis Kucinich and two Democrats, that makes three, counting Dennis, myself and two Republicans. We went to the federal courts with Jonathan Turley, Professor Turley, who's a constitutional scholar and a professor. And always the courts, Michael, this is the problem. The courts always kick it back to Congress and say, well, you've got the authority to cut the funding for military action. Well, most members of Congress don't feel at ease to do that because they say, well, how do you have the young men and women over there in Afghanistan, but you don't send any money to buy the equipment to fight with? So this is the right approach to bring Congress back into the debate.
You worked with the extremist leftist Dennis Kucinich regarding Obama getting involved in Libya. Do you expect any support from Democrats with your resolution?
Michael, that's right. We went to the federal courts. We did a press conference with Professor Jonathan Turley in front of the federal courts in Washington, D.C. And the problem is that the courts continue to say, they've been saying this for years, well, Congress has the authority. They can stop the funding, but it's not that easy to do. This is before the action is taken. It's why we think this concurrent resolution is so important.
If declaring war was good enough for FDR, then why can't Obama just declare war? By the way, I don't think Bush did either.
Well, Michael, that's what we're saying. Let's follow the Constitution. We don't follow the Constitution anymore. I would be with you 100%, just like Ron Paul. I would be with you 100%. We should debate and declare war, not pass these resolutions that give a president the flexibility to determine, yeah, I think I might go to war. We need to stop that. These kids are giving their life in Afghanistan and Iraq. They're giving their legs, their limbs. We need for Congress to get back into the debate about whether we should or should not be going to war.
Congressman Jones, keep up the great work, and thanks for joining us today on the Savage Nation.
Michael, we're getting response from all over the United States, primarily from about 48 states. People have called in, and it's running about 9-1 in favor of this House concurrent resolution. And we really need to encourage your listeners to contact the House Judiciary Committee and ask them to bring this concurrent resolution up for a hearing. You know better than I, the Constitution is so important to the future of this nation, and our presidents for too long, both parties, have bypassed Congress and just decided they'd go in and bomb a country or so. So need your help, and I really think that the American people are behind this concurrent resolution, and you've got so many listeners like myself who appreciate your positions.
This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Eddie, you got a great question. What is it?
I would like to know if there is a certain diet that I can eat that would help my odds as to having a boy child instead of a girl child. I have two girls right now, and I was curious.
Very interesting. Well, I cannot find any evidence in the literature that you can eat certain foods or take certain vitamins to change the balance with regard to the sex of a child. However, There is medical literature on nutritional factors in fertility, to improve fertility, how to improve semen counts via certain vitamins. Would you like me to talk about how to improve semen counts with certain vitamins?
Well, right now I guess you could say we're practicing right now because my.
Well, isn't that what the honeymoon's all about? Is practice.
We have a 7-month-old right now, and we're trying to space our children out in between 3 and 4 years. Like our oldest daughter is 4 years old, and then I have a 7-month-old.
So, all right. So your issue is not fertility per se. Your issue is you want to make sure, or you want to tilt the odds in favor of a male child, right?
Correct. Correct.
I do not have an answer for that question. Back in 1928, a Dr. McCumber suggested the following to improve fertility. Be certain your protein intake is adequate. Be certain you're consuming adequate levels of calcium, phosphorus, iodine, iron, and other trace minerals. Your water intake must be adequate. Your total calorie should be at least the level of the RDA. Now, these are very basic concepts for fertility. But what if you're a man and you want to improve your semen count? Because you've been told that you have a low sperm count. Can you do it with diet? There is literature that suggests yes, you can, and that's on pages 6 and 7 of Healing Children Naturally, available only on my website. Sperm production is improved both qualitatively and quantitatively by supplementation with the B vitamins and vitamin E. It's been found that with the use of as little as 150 to 200 milligrams a day, of vitamin E, not only was the sperm count increased in men who had problems with sperm production, but also there was an improvement in sperm motility and a reduction in the number of abnormal sperm. More can be read in the book, and I don't want to, you know, get too technical, but it's pretty clear what we're talking about. And I think it's very important that people understand there's a lot of information out there that isn't getting out to you. Now let's go on to questions other than nutrition on the Savage Nation. Some of them I can answer, some of them I really cannot answer. Truthfully, there are questions I can't even take. New York, WOR, Dave, what's your lifestyle question?
Yes, Michael, I'm a business school professor, and I'm going to be teaching an interesting class this fall called Career and Life Planning. And I was curious as to what kinds of, based on your experience, what kind of questions would you pose to the students to get them thinking about their lives and their careers and so on and so forth? I want to get
Wow. So you're a business professor?
That's correct, yes.
And you want to know what questions you would ask. How old are the students?
They'll be MBA students.
Oh, MBA students. And you want to provoke what in them? I'm not quite sure what you're asking.
Well, I want to provoke in them some thought around what I consider life's biggest questions. Who am I? How am I going to measure my life? And so on. I was just curious as to what...
Oh, so you're not just sticking to the business side. You want to turn them into well-rounded individuals as well, correct?
You got it.
Well, that's quite a challenge. I mean, any young person who's going to get an MBA is usually coming into that program from somewhere else, and they're anxious to make money. They're anxious to make more money. and they're anxious to make money, period. I don't know how you're going to reach them on any other level. Do you really think they're going to be interested in the bigger issues?
Well, I think so. I mean, it's going to be a requirement for the course. So they're going to sign up with that understanding.
All right, so you want to bring the ethical side as well, don't you? Isn't that what you're implying? You want them to be ethical business people?
I want them to be ethical. I want them to be well-rounded.
I'll tell you what I would do if I were you and I really wanted to challenge them. I would create two or three scenarios of a business situation where a lot of money could be made. But I'd write it out. A lot of money can be made on the sale of a railroad. Let's say I'm picking something out of the blue, a railroad tracks going. However, if this railroad goes through this area, it wipes out 55 units of housing that the poor live in. And ask them how they would deal with that problem. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You're putting them in a quandary right there. You're challenging their liberalism against their commercial interests. And it's interesting what their answers would be. But I think that would provoke answers, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I certainly think so. I just want them to think beyond the moment, think long term what their life is going to look like.
Well, there you go. So, in other words, it's people, not profits, or is it people and profits? And where is that line drawn?
Yep, that's exactly right. Plus a little.
So I would give them the conflicting question that you could probably easily come up with, because there are so many examples of a good chance to make money that has some social implications that might be quite negative on certain populations, and present them with that conflict and have them answer it. How would they act? Now, I would even raise the stakes on them and say, and it's your first position in a major corporation and you've been given the job of dealing with the people who are affected. How would you deal with it? Or would you leave the company? Really put them on the spot.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that very
right?
much. Thank you so much.
See, thank you. I don't know if it helps at all. I mean, I left a scholarship in my first year in graduate school, and I didn't have a dime because the professor said you have to kill the lab rats, and I wouldn't do it. I told you the story. And it's a strange story because I said I'm not going to kill the mice or the rats, whatever they were using. I didn't want to hold them in my hand, stroke them, talk to them, and stick a blade in the back of their head. I didn't want to kill, you know, lab mice. So the SOB fired me. He knew I didn't have a dime. I had nothing. I was in a strange state. It was my $300 a month stipend. I had nothing, nowhere to go. I quit. Well, he fired me, whatever. I went and left and went into another field where I didn't have to kill animals called botany, and that led me to ethnobotany. That led me to all the islands of the South Seas, and that led me to a very interesting road in my life. In a strange way, you could say it led to radio. I don't know how you can say that, but there was a linkage somehow. It's all part of my fate. Let's put it to you that way. But in other words, hey, if you would say, well, I can't leave the job. I got to kill the mice or I'll lose the money. I walked out on many, many. I'd say there are other cases, and I can't tell them on the air because of legal reasons. I once worked for a corporation, and I couldn't take it anymore. The person that I was reporting to was a monster. Actually, the person I was reporting to was a very nice guy, the CEO. But then they offered me another position to stay in this out-of-state position, and they gave me a very good salary. They gave me shares in the company that were worth about $500,000. The problem was, the minute I signed on to stay on, the CEO's son, who was 22 years old, became my immediate boss, my supervisor. And he was an SOB. I was a grown man, and he wanted to show me how smart he was, even though he was quite shallow. And he started to present things to me that first day. You got to do this. You got to do that. You're going to report to me. You're going to do that. I walked into the CEO's office a day after I had accepted the position. And I said, unfortunately, I have to leave the company. He said, but Michael, you just negotiated $500,000 in stock option. Now, I got to tell you, this was 20 years ago. $500,000 was still a lot of money 20 years ago, especially since I had almost nothing at the time. I said, no amount of money is worth working for this child. I'm leaving, and I left. And I came back to California without really anything to fall back upon. And shortly thereafter, I sent out 500 tapes to 500 radio stations with a mocked-up tape about a talk show called The Savage Nation, and that led to the career I have today. What I'm saying to you is that if you really have faith in yourself, something good is going to pop up. You don't have to sit there and take it from people who are monsters, who you hate, who are out to hurt you. Believe me, there's always something better. Okay, so now we'll move on, okay? Wisconsin. Max, welcome to the program. What's your question?
Yeah, Dr. Savage, I just got a little, situation here. My parents, after 23 years of marriage, are getting a divorce. My dad is kind of initiating it. It's for financial reasons, and my mom and my two younger brothers are very shook up about it. I'm a 20-year-old kid. I go to college in Minnesota. I got a little, just a little situation just because I don't know whether I should stay home and, stay supportive of my family there. I'm home for the summer right now, but...
If you stay home, who would you be home with if your folks are getting divorced?
Well, I'd be with my mom. I'd be with my two younger brothers who are both, just getting into high school right now.
All right, so your father's left your mother in essence?
Right, yeah.
Did he leave her for another woman?
We don't know really. We know that he says it's for financial reasons. My mom got in a little bit of credit card debt a while ago, and
Mother's going to be in a lot of emotional trauma. So as you're the eldest son?
Yes.
And what would you do in the alternative if you didn't stay home this summer? What would you be doing?
I'd be going back to school, to finish up my junior year of college in Minnesota there. So,
well, wait a minute. You cannot leave college. The family is very important, but if you derail your college education as the new head of the family, in essence, you're actually doing your family a disservice. So for their sake, you have to finish your degree.
Right, and that's what they keep telling me. I feel really guilty just because, my mom is going through a ton of just like emotional pain.
How far away will you be from your mother?
Like 4.5 hours.
Okay, so you're in the same state?
No, I'm in a different state.
All right, but you can't stay home and hold your mother's hand. It's going to wreck both of you. Savage.